This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope this Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. The parents of Aurora Theater shooting suspect James Holmes will be allowed to attend his trial, even though they may be called as witnesses. The Denver Post reports that a previous ruling barred most of the witnesses in the case from watching the trial before their testimony. But Judge Carlos Zamora yesterday announced Holmes' parents would be exempt from that rule. Prosecutors said they had no objection to the exemption. Yet to be decided is whether victims who could be called as witnesses will be allowed to watch the trial. Defense attorneys say if potential witnesses are allowed to watch the trial, they could possibly match their testimony to ones that come before theirs. Prosecutors, on the other hand, claim the Victims' Rights Act entitles the victims to watch the trial. According to the Post, prosecutors claimed it was ironic that the exemption was given to Holmes' parents, but not the victims of last year's mass shooting. Holmes' trial is set for February, where prosecutors will seek the death penalty. The Telluride Watch reports a Colorado health exchange will open October 1st, the same day President Obama's Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act goes into effect. Connect for Health Colorado, as it's called, aims to help Coloradans understand their health benefits and options. The exchange will start selling its coverage on October 1st as well, offering discounts for individuals and families of four who fall into a qualified income range. The Affordable Care Act requires that all Americans have some type of health insurance by January 31st of 2014, either through keeping their current insurance plan or purchasing one through what's known as a health insurance exchange pool, essentially an online marketplace for health care. The Watch also reports that Ouray City Councilor Gary Hansen has died after battling cancer. Hansen was the mayor pro tem for Ouray and near the end of a four-year term on the city council. Despite his fight with cancer, Hansen managed to attend a key council meeting over Amendment 64 just 3 weeks ago. According to the Watch, Hansen was previously elected to the Home Rule Charter Commission and helped craft Ouray's Home Rule Charter. Hansen also reportedly spent much time talking with constituents about the divisive issue of medical marijuana and succeeded in getting the issue put before a vote rather than banned or approved by the Ouray Council. Councilman John Ferguson remembered Hansen as a good friend with whom he shared philosophies. Ouray City Administrator Patrick Rondinelli claimed that though Hansen had lived in many communities, he had never cared about any of them as much as Ouray. Mayor Bob Reich further commended Hansen's unrivaled work ethic and seriousness towards the job. Reich said for now the council will seek a temporary replacement for Hansen's position, most likely someone who will not run in the fall, so that any unfair advantages can be avoided. The Ouray Council will also appoint a new mayor pro tem at its next meeting, slated for July 15th. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports an entire apartment building in Grand Junction was evacuated on Sunday after a backpack containing improvised explosive devices was left in the apartment complex. Bomb squad officers responded to a report of bombs and bomb-making materials outside the E building of the Racquet Club apartment complex on Orchard Avenue, shortly after 2:40 p.m. According to police, the bomb squad removed bottles and canisters filled with gunpowder and with fuses attached. Officials wouldn't say whether the devices were capable of actually exploding. They simply said they were homemade. The Sentinel reports no arrests have been made, and police have yet to say whether they're actively seeking anyone as a suspect in the case. The Daily Sentinel also reports that pressure is on for Colorado lawmakers to pass an immigration bill approved by the U.S. Senate last month. According to the Daily Sentinel, Republicans in particular are being pressed to approve the measure, which creates a path to citizenship for nearly 11 million people living in the country without proper residency documents. As part of the bill's bipartisan compromise, it also calls for enhancements to U.S. border security, such as adding nearly 20,000 more U.S. Border Patrol officers and completing 700 miles of border fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. Several groups supporting the bill have held demonstrations outside the offices of Republican Representatives Mike Kaufman, Scott Tipton, and others. State Democrats Diana Jajet and Jared Polis have already stated their support for the bill. Tipton, whose 3rd congressional district includes the Western Slope, hasn't yet stated his opinions on the bill. Former Republican Congressman Tom Tancredo, who's announced his plans to run for governor, opposes the bill. Among the Colorado groups backing the bill are the Partnership for a New American Economy and the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. According to the Daily Sentinel, a 50-state study shows that in Colorado, the nearly 495,000 immigrants, mostly from Mexico, South Korea, and Germany, have an estimated $5.5 billion impact on the state's economy. And finally this morning, this week on I See Change, KVNF's Travik Bubenik explores concerns about ditch lining in the area and whether these man-made environmental changes, much like the ditches themselves, may alter their surroundings.
For the last episode of I See Change, we reported on the earlier-than-expected sight of sunflowers, possibly due to this year's warmer temperatures. Today we explore another unusual observation specific to this year, this one posted to the Almanac by Stewart Mesa resident Maria Hodkins. She says usually by this time of the summer, her front porch is practically overrun with wasps, but this year they seem to have disappeared.
There are very few wasps flying around and hardly any nests that I can find. And usually we have, you know, they're under all our eaves and in the outbuildings and swarming around all the time.
Hodkins wonders whether that has to do with the ditch that used to flow right behind her property. That open water source fed deer, birds, and her willow trees, but it's since been covered and now flows through a closed underground pipe. It's called ditch lining, a project funded by the Bureau of Reclamation and aimed at reducing salt and selenium in water sources throughout the Colorado River Basin. Sarah Sauter, director of the Conservation Center in Paonia, says selenium can pose a big threat.
Elevated levels of selenium have been shown to cause reproductive problems and deformities in fish and aquatic birds, and salt inhibits plant growth. And so one of the best things that we can do to try to limit the amount of salt and selenium in the rivers is to do things like ditch lining.
The state's been controlling salt levels in the river since 1974, but the Stewart Mesa Ditch Project showed up in Hodkins' backyard just last November. So could that vanished water source be keeping wasps away? Hodkins says her experience tells her it might.
Every time I water the garden or fill the bird bath and everything, the wasps, whatever ones are here, start flying around it. So I know that that's a factor that they're attracted to. It's in many ways a relief, but I'm just concerned that, well, the wasps are also our pollinators, so, you know, that will affect things more far-reaching.
She says her neighbors have noticed the absence of wasps as well. Marilyn Stone owns a house just down the road from Hodkins, also on the Stewart Ditch, and she's noticed some changes to the woodhouse toads that usually pop up around her property this time of year. Namely, they're smaller.
Usually when we see them, they're probably about an inch long. These are much smaller this year, even though it's later in the year, so something must have delayed them. They're about the size of my fingernail on my little finger. They're really tiny.
Stone says those young, small toads are usually out much earlier in the summer. But both her and her husband, Mike Drake, say they're not sure that the ditch lining has anything to do with it. In fact, Drake says since covering up the ditch got rid of what was essentially a canyon in their backyard, they can now make better use of that land.
We'll now be able to do things that we really couldn't do with our property before. So in this immediate spot of the world, when we get it all together, the habitat will be better than it was before.
There are, of course, many other factors that could be affecting wasp populations besides the ditch being gone. Frigg Pierce, who studies insects at Colorado State University, said lower wasp numbers this year could be a food chain disruption caused by the drought. Wasps feed on smaller insects, ones that rely on plants for food, but dry weather can kill that plant life, so fewer small bugs, fewer wasps. Wasps may be just some of the wildlife affected by taking away these open water sources, but according to Sarah Sauter, ditch lining projects have to account for that.
When the ditches are being lined, the ditch company is required to mitigate for that habitat loss.
Whatever effect ditch lining may have on wasps, toads, or other wildlife, Sauter says its pros outweigh its cons.
It is going for a much greater good to improve wildlife and fish habitat in the main stem of the river.
For IC Change and thealmanac.org, I'm Travis Bubinick.
IC Change is a crowdsourced reporting project with KVNF that draws on community observations about seasonal shifts in the weather. Have you seen changes this week? Share your observations at thealmanac.org and thereby be a part of two-way radio. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.